All right, good evening. Good evening. So we'll just share a quick word, a couple of thoughts, and then we'll take the offering, okay? All right. So just thinking about this thought in prayer this afternoon, Lord, I just pray that you would bless this word and that I would just be in your anointing and in the flow of the service, in the flow of what you have to say to us tonight. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people, this pulpit that has over and over and over again corrected us, instructed us, given us joy, given us hope, led us in faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was just thinking about how many of you are the kind of travelers where you go overseas and then on your way back when you're packing your bags, you have to like be kicking stuff in the luggage and like you get a friend to sit on it and you kind of close the zipper, right? You're like fitting as much stuff as you can, right? You got to fit a lot of stuff in a little place. I was also thinking about 7-Eleven. They used to do these special 7-Eleven days where you could bring your own cup from home and just get as much Slurpee as you wanted to. Only on 7-Eleven, July 11th. But I think they stopped it because they were like bringing like barrels and like rain boots and like filling up the whole thing all the way to the top, putting a straw in it. But how, like, the question came to my mind, what can I fit in my heart? That's a good question for us. What could I fit in my heart? And we can think of a couple Bible verses together. Psalm 119, verse 32, it says, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And I love that. I love that verse. When God enlarges my heart, it gives me some sort of spiritual strength where I'm able to run. I'm able to run in the way of God's commandments. I'm not obligated, but I have a delight, right? I'm not obligated to do God's will, but I have a delight to do His will, right? And this comes really from our new heart. We've been taught so well that God has given us a new heart and a new spirit. And this new heart in Hebrews 13 verse 9, it says that it's established in grace. And when our heart is established in grace, we know from our heart flow the issues of life, right? In Proverbs 4:23. When our heart becomes established in grace, all of the issues of our life have to flow through grace, right? All of the problems, the circumstances, the suffering, the victories, all have to flow through grace because our heart is established in grace. What can fit in our heart when God enlarges it? 2 Corinthians 7 verse 2, it says that people can fit in your heart. Psalm 51, verse 6, it says that wisdom can fit in your heart. It also says that truth can fit in your heart. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says that the word of God can fit in your heart. But these things can only fit in our heart if we have a soft heart, right? If I have a soft heart, I can make a mistake because there's grace there. If I have a soft heart, I can be corrected and instructed and I can be led on the right path because I know that there's grace there. What else do we learn about this new heart is that this new heart has perfect timing. I love this. So in Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, God, search my heart. But in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart. The new heart has right timing. It guards at the right time, and it allows God to search at the right time. The new heart won't guard God from searching our heart, but it'll allow him to search us. The old heart will guard itself against God so that God can't search us. But the new heart has right timing. It knows when to guard itself, and it knows when to be searched by God. This new heart has the ability and the capacity to hold the suffering of other people, like we heard this morning in Romans 12, bearing the burdens of other people. But it also has the capacity to share in the victory and the joy of other people. This new heart is something that God has given us, and it's something that he's working in us over and over. This new heart has the capacity to see beyond the visible in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It has the capacity to believe God in Hebrews 3:13 when it can't see what's beyond the sight. And I think I just want to rejoice in the fact that we have this new heart tonight, and that God is working in us where he's enlarging our heart. He's making it big so we can hold people in it. We can hold his truth. We can hold wisdom. We can hold the love of God in Romans 5:5. It dwells and it's shed abroad in our heart. God will put his life into this new heart that he's given us. And it's just such an amazing thing when we can take a moment and when God can speak to us in the new heart. So I just want to rejoice in that today, and that God is working these things in us. He's working in people in our heart. He's working in having a vision in our heart. And he's putting his love in it. So let's just rejoice in that tonight as we pray for the offering. Lord, we just thank you for giving us this new heart that is established in grace. This new heart that is not hardened, but it's soft. Thank you for this new heart that is able to believe you when sight can't see beyond our circumstance. Thank you for this new heart that has the capacity to love people, and the capacity to bear each other's burdens, and the capacity to love people in their suffering, in their pain, in their darkest hour. This new heart has a capacity to love. Thank you for this new heart that can trust you. And we just pray that you would enlarge in our heart, and we will run. We will run. We won't be lame anymore like Mephibosheth was lame, but we can run by your grace when our heart is established in this newness of life. Pray for this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Justin, where's Justin? Where's Justin? No, he contacted me earlier and said he couldn't make it tonight. So I am here. Okay, so, hey, you got to take what you can get. Okay, so here we are. So we are in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 13 to the end of that chapter, 13 to verse 21. And I just to repeat that Zane gave a very good word, and I just started to write down the things that he was saying, want to repeat it, that our hearts can be big. They can be tough, shrink. My heart can shrink like a raisin. What are raisins? What are they anyway? Grapes. So you take a grape, big juicy grape, and then by some process it becomes dried up and packed with nutrition. Okay, so your life, however, is to be, he said, soft, and also to receive, he said, truth in the inner man, Psalm 51:6, love out of our hearts, we love, Romans 5:5. He's talked about timing, that in our hearts we guard our heart, and at the same time we open our heart all the time to God, And he is in us, and we're going to read that here in Ephesians 3. We have a heart where we can identify with people who suffer, and there is a lot of that happens in life, that we can weep with those that weep, and we can rejoice with those that rejoice. We also discern in our heart when we see God, when we see Christ. And that happens. We can see or discern Christ in the body. We'll read that also here in a minute. We discern the reality of God. Remember when Aaron and Moses were together, and Moses had said, I believe it was five times he's resisting God. He's like, no, I can't do it. And then he said about the language or the speech problem. And God said, Aaron will be your mouth. And he said, when Aaron sees you, you will be like God to him. Wow. Exodus chapter 4. And in a way, that's when we can discern each other. It's not always obvious that when we look at a human being that we don't see much there, maybe. But it's the same with Christ. When Christ was on the earth, they didn't always see who he was. Actually, they called him a devil at times, right? There were certain people. Even Philip said, show us the Father. And he said, how long must I be? You've been with me so long, and you don't know this. And we say, yeah, Lord, even us with the body of Christ, we don't discern you in the body, but many, many of you do. And we do. We want to. We look for it, and we enjoy it. Oh, convention in Europe is happening. In Poland in March. Round trip tickets. Give me a number. How much does it cost to go to Europe and back? Poland. What? 530, 600. Going once. Going twice. Yeah, I heard a number, 300. I don't know. That sounds like one way to Bel Air, Maryland to me. Okay, so, yeah. What? 470 round trip to Warsaw? Wow, 470. Okay. Okay. Yes. And then Zane also said that the heart is able to look at the invisible, lift up our eyes, and look at what is not seen. Yeah, this is all in training. Like God gave us that heart. That is a new heart. That is the heart of Christ. Christ is in us. So we have his heart and his spirit. Have you seen that come out of you? Have you seen the reality of Christ come out of you in your heart? Have you seen that? Yeah, I think so. So this is what he's saying. Let's go to Ephesians. Quick review. Chapter 1 is pulling back the curtain. We actually go into eternity in chapter 1. We go beyond time. We pass into the heart and mind of God. And he tells us, I have done this by my own will, by my own power, and for my glory. One day you will see it very clearly, but now we see through a glass darkly. Or in another way of saying that, we look at the mirror, but it's not so clear. But it is, but not the best clarity, for we live by faith. Do you have any interest in spiritual things? Do you have any interest in believing in God that you cannot see him? Many times we cannot feel him, and many times we do not understand him. But are you interested? Yes, because of the new birth, we are. We have a desire, a hunger. We kind of sharpen Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron. 27:19 says another proverb that's kind of, it says, as face answers in water, like face to face, when you look into water, you see yourself. So heart to heart, heart answers to heart. And what is the great heart that your heart answers to? Who has the great heart that your heart answers to is God. I want the heart of God. You are made for the heart of God. You have the same heart. You have a heart for God. God has a heart for you, and heart answers to heart. And that's so precious to us. So in chapter 1, when we look at the mind and the heart of God, he tells us clearly what he had planned. And these are things that are, like normally we would say, they are beyond our comprehension. They must be revealed to us. It has to be ministered to us in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It has to be by the anointing of God, because in chapter 2, we were dead in our sin, and we lived a certain way in unbelief, and how many foolish things I did when I was an unbeliever. And I thought of it yesterday and pray, thank God that he saved my life, because I was a very foolish person. But he protected me. Thank you, Lord. Job 33. Then we have us placed in the body, chapter 2, in the body of Christ as Jew and Gentile in chapter 3. It was not clear in the Old Testament that the church age would be what it is, but it was revealed to Paul, and Paul wrote it down, and he called it the fellowship of the mystery in verse 9, chapter 3. He made to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And that does surprise us at times when we meet people from other countries. We were in the Philippines a few weeks ago with a group of Chinese people, completely different language, completely different history, completely different part of the world, and yet we have this fellowship that is so clear to them and to us, and that God has done this. Well, verse 10, it's made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And we learned that this is about the angels, but I also believe it's about demons, that demons are also watching this happen, and they are hating it. They are against it. They resist it. But in the midst of this ministry, there is the manifold wisdom of God in verse 10. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations. Maybe could I have my iPad up, Avery? Thank you. Just okay. Thank you. Yeah. Here's the idea here of this. You could say, here's all the incredible riches, and this comes to our mind. We have incredible riches in Christ. And then here's Paul in his suffering, and he's saying, when you know me here, you know about my sufferings and my life, how difficult it is and everything. You could look at me and be worried about me. You could also not want to be associated with me. You could be embarrassed that you know me. Desire that you faint not in my trouble, my tribulations. You could faint at my trouble. You could look at my life and just say, okay, you know, I really don't want that to happen to me. I don't want what happened to Paul to happen to me. But he's saying it this way. He's saying, because of this here, because of what you have, then don't faint at my trouble. That you'll be fine. Like, keep your eye on what it is that God is doing. And if suffering is part of our life, then that's God. That's God is in it. So don't faint at my trouble. He said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of my chain. For Onesimus sought me out very diligently. He was not afraid to know me and be associated with me. And he sought, and he found me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. I think last summer we had some protesters out here at the gate, and that was crazy. That's another story. But I also realize that people that don't know us, or they might have questions about us or something, it could be the same picture. They could say, I don't want to go to a church where there are protesters outside the gate, right? And he's saying, you know, and we have to learn and follow and realize that this is in our case, like, we are working on our hearts to love people and help people find and walk with Jesus. That's the point. But it's also something where somebody could say, I'm ashamed. I got a problem with it. I'm checking out or whatever. That can happen. So this is, you know, the context, I believe. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the meaning? I pray. Verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There's some Greek study here on this where we have God as Father, and the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the whole family. But I'll just mention what I like about it, and the meaning that I get out of it that I enjoy is that the family is in heaven and earth. That the body of Christ is here in the room, and then all the believers that are alive on the earth, and then the part of our family that is in heaven. They are there. And that family, and the people that will be there in the future, and that God is the Father of this great family, and that we belong in this family. Verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. So we have the Spirit, and we have the strengthened. This is said two times, Luke 1:80 about John the Baptist and Luke 2:40 about Christ. Let's put those verses up. Luke 1:80, strengthened in spirit, strengthened with might by his spirit. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Waxed strong is strengthened in spirit. Was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. The spirit of man is very important part of his existence. The spirit, it says it in Proverbs 16, where it says, a man that rules his spirit is greater than a man who can take a city. Well, who takes a city? A military operation or a political operation? But you have a spirit, and that's really where you live. What spirit are we of? What spirit do we have? And then that spirit strengthening God, or rather, God strengthening us in the spirit. Now, I was thinking of this word strengthened, of getting strong, and then there's other words for strength, and, you know, kratos and ischus and exousia. These are words for power, energeo, energy, and so on. But I'm going to make this very simple. And I think about this piano. Now, I'm not an electrician. Okay, let's get that straight right now. But I wonder how it works and how much electricity runs that piano. And then how little energy goes in some parts of it. Like some parts of the piano, it's very little electricity. Like, I don't know how they call it, but it's very, very small. Just like a lot of technology, it's like very small impulses of electricity. But it works very well. And we wouldn't want so much electricity to go into this thing to blow it out. It catches on fire because of the power. Okay, there is something about you and I in the way we are made where the Lord visits us and gives us the strength that is needed in our spirit. And that we are drawn to him by his power. But it may be like small in one sense, you know, because when we think of power, we're thinking of like volume and what's with the force, right? Like a fire hose and the volume and the force of a fire hose and or the voltage and then what is it, the amps, the power of it. So we have that idea that the Lord, you don't realize it, but he strengthens you in spirit. Jesus is the next one, Luke 2, verse 40. And the child, this is about Jesus, the other was John the Baptist. Child grew and waxed strong in spirit. This is the same now. And filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. Let's put up another verse, Acts 6, verse 10. This is about Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's Stephen. They couldn't resist like the wisdom and the spirit that he had. What does that mean? That's that you are, but Paul is writing about it. Let's go now to Ephesians 3 in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That quietness, that big heart that Pastor, that Zane mentioned, the big heart, receiving. I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. I will do your will when you are filling me with your spirit. I will seek you because your spirit is strengthening me. I can resist the enemy, and I could help somebody find the way because I have words. I have faith. I have love. I have joy. We have the spirit of God that is in us. This leads us into a little sidebar that I want to get to, but let's go back to this 17, chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded. So we have Christ in you and you are rooted. This is a tree, the idea of a plant. And then rooted and grounded is the idea of a building. Grounded, foundation. These are two metaphors for your life. You are rooted. You're not easily moved. Because that the Holy Spirit is doing this. I would rather be moved by the Spirit again of God than by somebody's intellect. I would rather be moved by the Spirit of God and have the Spirit of God convince me and persuade me more than somebody's emotions or than a theatrical demonstration or even, let's say, moved by a miracle. I would appreciate a miracle any day. But the thing that really grounds you and roots you is something that the Spirit of God does, that he persuades you in your spirit. I became a believer. I have a little sub-point here, another one, and it's about this word piety. Piety. It's, let's see, what is it? It's from the Latin, I believe, and it's a French word, too, I think. Pity. I know that it's used to be that it was a German revival, 1669 or so, and this is where it was born. Bible study, devotion in Germany. It's in history. You can look it up. And these people were moved away from the intellectual approach to the faith and the formalism of religion, and they were moved to Bible study and devotion, and people made fun of them and called them pietists, and because the word means pity. People pitied them. They are to be pitied. But they didn't know that the Spirit of God was with that group of people, and they were persuaded, rooted, grounded in the faith. And it went on, you know, for centuries, and it exists today, and we are part of that. We are pietists. We are people that are looking for God in the Spirit of God and in faith and in prayer and in the Bible. And we have daily devotions, and we have faith, and we are persuaded and moved by God in our hearts. We have found Christ. Christ dwells in us, and this is our fellowship. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The word is agape, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. May be able to comprehend. We have the word is also associated with the word apprehend or get a hold of, to understand something, to get a grip on it. that we are able to get it. We got it. We are, the Lord has enlarged our hearts, and we can run in his way because of it. So we have this persuasion. We are able to comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth. Now, these dimensions, I'll just draw it like this as a picture, just a cube, something like that. And we have actually three dimensions here. We have four words. We have height, we have heights, we have breadth, we have length, we have depth. Okay, so I wonder what it really means. And I just say a few things about it. When you measure things, when we measure things, that's like in our life, they are measurable. Noah's Ark was measured. The tabernacle was measured. But there are things that are not measured. There is something about your life in the spirit that goes beyond. But all we have are like earthly dimensions with no numbers, like not 300 or 100 or whatever. But we are able to realize that you could say something like this, that actually the world that we are living in has like some dimensions that are like beyond the natural man. That this is Christ dwelling in us, and that we are able to get a hold of that transcends us, or what enters into our hearts, and that what we believe and understand and embrace. And this is love. We're able to go beyond, like, because of love. Love never fails. God is love. We're able to forgive and again and again and again and forgive again and forgive again. To believe and to believe again and believe again. To understand and to like enjoy it and to look for more of it and to believe it. This is what this is saying. He's saying that we are by the Spirit that is strengthening us, dwelling in us with Christ in our heart, we are able to get a hold of what it is. Look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. Wow, what a statement. To know, I could make a confession that my little world of love is just a... What do you think? It's not funny, I guess, but look at my little world of love. Okay, there it is. My little world of love. I will love those that love me. I'll love things when I'm comfortable. I'll love when I'm not suffering. I love when I understand everything. I love when people say they're sorry. If they say sorry, they really mean it, then I will love them. Okay, that idea. No, this is amazing that God is in you and I, and that the love of Christ, verse 19, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is what we see in the Apostle Paul's life of suffering. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, and these are really big words. He takes a word for abundance, and he does hooper. Hooper uses that word. Then he has hooper ek, that word. He kind of adds the way we say super, super awesome, where, you know, that was absolutely delicious. That was magnifico. That was absolutely extra, super extraordinary, that kind of idea. We can't even say what it is. It's just amazing. Verse 20, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Okay. Now, if we could go back to that thing, what we could ask or think, what would you ask or think, you know, what would you ask God if you could have your, if you could ask or think, what do you think about asking for God, you know? I was thinking of that today when I was studying this. I made a short list. Comfort, money, happiness, friendships. I would say, what are you, good health, success, friends, and so on. But this says beyond what you could ask or think. Can you think of anything greater or beyond? What do you think about? And God says to us what he's given us. And here it is, in a few words. It's like, it's a family that I never thought I could be part of. I am in a family that I never thought I could ever be part of. It never even came into my mind that I would be in the family of God. I have no idea. Now, why is family important? Because it embodies everything really that we are made for. We are made to be loved. We are made to love. We are made for relationship. But then the second thing about this that I never really thought about before is that this family has a destiny. This family is forever. This family has God as its father. I never thought about that before. Whatever I could ask or think about, maybe long life or health or success or whatever, they are actually very small compared to what it is that we have received. And we have not yet comprehended what we have. But we have it. And a little taste of it is the spirit that you have. Because the spirit that you have, that strengthening, is from your Father. And he strengthens you in the spirit, and you're able to comprehend or get a hold of it, like what is coming. That Christ is our Savior, that God is our Father, and that we've been born into a kingdom that has no end. And that we are in a family, and he calls us his children. We are beloved. And he put our name in his book. And then all of the things that happen, like in this lifetime, I mean, that's all part of the whole thing. And so we are able to live here with something that is a living hope and a purpose that has no limits to it. That's it. Amen. Pardon?
Let Justin know you did a good job.
He said, I'll let Justin know that I did a good job, he said. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you gave us a great day today. And these faithful people that drive up and down 95 and around the Beltway and have homes and families, and yet so much, how real that we would be riding in our car and be strengthened in our spirit. And in that little illustration, maybe it seems like a light impulse, but it's a powerful one, and it fulfills its purpose, and we function with peace. And maybe a tear comes to our eye, or maybe something in our heart when we look at the moon and we think of who you are and we have a love in our hearts, or when we think about a person and we pray for them, we have you strengthen us in the inner man so that we can be rooted and grounded and live by faith in something we cannot see, but we're able to comprehend these dimensions in our hearts. Because like Zane said, I will run the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Thank you, God, for that. Bless our week, our children, our friends, our missionaries, the weakest member, the widows, the orphans, the persecuted church. Lead us this week. Help us open our mouths and share our faith with love, kindness, and joy. And do a jig in the parking lot somewhere. So not this parking lot. You can do it all you want here. But there's some parking lot somewhere. And just talk to somebody about joy and about life and about love. Yes. In Jesus' name. If you're not a believer, come to Christ today by faith. Come by faith. Say yes to Christ by faith. Just by faith, just say yes to Jesus in his name. Amen.